Messiah. So Peter finally got it right. And he didn't always get a little bit. He didn't always get the questions right. Although James, Peter, Petra, means rock. He called him Rocky. You'll rock. I love that nickname. You know, his given name was actually Simon, but Jesus called him Rocky. So Rocky had stumbled over questions. He might have been a little discouraged in the past. But this time he was going to pat himself on the back. Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered. He answered correctly. And I'm sure he was proud of himself for finally getting it. And then he was confused again. But there's a big question. Was he really ever correct to begin with? I think that when we read this Bible passage, and folks, you know, this is a common Bible passage read in church. It's one that is, you know, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ. This is before Jesus called Peter Satan and told about Jesus said how he was going to suffer and die and rise again. Another time where Peter really got it or didn't get it, I don't know. But Peter was confused. See, when Jesus called Peter the Christ, that's what he said, that's Greek, he used the same term as Messiah, which is in Hebrew, and both mean anointed one. Messiah, Christ. And usually, they would refer to the kings of Israel, the anointed one. In the Old Testament, where they talk about Messiah, they're talking about the king, the anointed one. The kings were powerful, they ruled absolutely, and weakness was not something that would be associated with a king, an anointed one. Kings didn't suffer and die. That didn't go with the title. So Peter called Jesus the Christ. In the book of Matthew, where the same story occurs, we're reading from Mark today, but he also calls Jesus the Son of God, the Son of the living God. In titles like that, also would be referring to the king or the Egyptian pharaohs. They would be known as the Son of the living God. And when Peter called Jesus those names, it was as if he was calling on Jesus to be the anointed one, the Son of the living God, the king, the powerful one. Take charge. Take over. Set things up with a military coup. Peter wanted Jesus to show up with violence and power, because that's what the kings did. They didn't take things lying down. They weren't meek. They took over. And that's when Jesus called Peter out. Actually, he didn't call him out there, but that set the stage for when Jesus called him out and put the disciples back on course. Because he said, "Satan, get behind me." And like I said to the kids, before we get too worried about that term, it's loaded for us today, but it really does just mean adversary. And that's really, Peter was not saying you're the most evil creature in all the universe. He was saying you are my adversary. You're getting it wrong. It doesn't have the same implications as Dana Carvey and the church lady, which was funny. Jesus wasn't trying to be funny either. He was trying to illustrate a point. Peter wanted Jesus to take over with violence and power, and Jesus was going to have none of that. What should Jesus have done? I mean, he had to call that out. He had to say to Peter, "No, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not about violence. I'm not about power. I'm not about the one who is going to just come in on a white horse and fix everything that way." Jesus knew, we know that violence is not the answer. Military might doesn't do it. And returning violence for violence is not the answer. If somebody is violent to you and you're violent back, you're just committing violence. That's it. Showing force and threatening violence is not the answer. We have governments that do that, and our government does this, and some of us will greatly disagree with this, but when we saber rattle and say, "If you do this, we will bomb you," that's not the answer. a threat of, display of, or use in retaliation of any kind of violence does not show a people of peace. It always shows a people of violence. And when a people of peace responds to violence with peace, it neither shows weakness nor naivete. It really doesn't. It shows a commitment to peace. Not because someone else offers peace or lives that way, but because that's what people of peace do. They respond with peace. That doesn't mean that we don't sometimes get up on our high horse or talk or say things that maybe sound a little bit belligerent or get up in people's face and say, that's wrong. Jesus didn't say Satan nicely. It doesn't mean that people won't sometimes be offended by the things that we say, the words that we use. But a people of peace do not respond with violence. They respond with peace. Jesus was not about violence. He was and is about peace. And I know he turned over tables in the temple. But he didn't go and punch people and then take bows and arrows or any kind of weapon and start killing people. No, he didn't do that. He got agitated. He responded belligerently. He got in people's faces. He called out bad behavior, but Jesus was and is about peace. And so today, identifying Jesus as the Christ, different from what Peter said, when we identify Jesus as the Christ, the Anointed One, the person of peace, it comes with an understanding that Jesus isn't about government or military takeovers. It comes with an understanding that following Jesus is about authentically loving God and loving everyone rather than forcing anyone to believe the same way you do, right? That's what being a Christian is. But there's more in today's reading. Jesus talked about becoming his follower. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now there's some in-your-face stuff. I think we've taken this, and there's some powerful words in there, but we've taken the first sentence. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And too often we have taken that sentence and said, you know, you're right. It's their cross to bear. They have to act the way that they're supposed to. I'm sorry, but it's just they're going to have to take up their cross instead of, this is my thing. I've got to deny myself. I've got to work on the way that I live, take up my cross and follow Jesus. Though Jesus was referring to let them, we're not Jesus. We don't get to say, you have to do that. That's between God and that person. Jesus' words aren't about telling the oppressed to just suck it up. They're about an attitude adjustment, an attitudinal shift, if we want to get a really nice kind of powerful phrase. I used that phrase in an email that I sent out to some folks from the Widening the Welcome movement, just an advertisement about the events coming up. And that email with those words, just from a marketing standpoint, had the highest open rate of any of the emails that I sent out all year. And we send out emails every couple of weeks. So, interesting words from Jesus. Interesting words for marketing. Interesting words about today's Bible reading. It's not about telling people who are oppressed or somehow different than you are to just suck it up and do what I think you should do. It's about an attitudinal shift. It's about understanding this part. When Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We're called not to tell folks that it's their cross to bear, but rather to stop thinking about accumulating more stuff and start acting to be sure that everyone has enough. It's not about imposing our religious rules on someone else or claiming persecution when someone else gets the same rights as you do, whether you like it or not. It's about realizing that in loving God, in loving one another, letting our focus be on attending to one another instead of only on ourselves, that's where we experience life. It's also about letting the questions be there. It's about trying to do our best, but not getting all caught up and just getting the right answer. Amen.